We're going to open God's Word together, and we're going to do that in Ezra. Book of Ezra in our church Bibles, which are available if you want one. So just put your hand up if you want a Bible, and we'll get one to you. That's fine. But it's on page 466 in church Bibles. And Ezra chapter 3, if you're following in your own Bible. So, the message I've called is going to be called A Good Beginning. Ezra 3, I'm going to read verses 8 to 13. Let's recall to mind that the Bible is the inspired word of God. This is no ordinary book. It's an extraordinary book, divinely inspired. And we have covenanted to listen to it and to its exposition and it being read. And we learned last week that we had to do that meekly and not sitting above it, judging it, but to sit under it, allowing God to change us. So let's listen to God's word being read. Now, in the second year after their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, made a beginning, together with the rest of their kinsmen, the priests and the Levites, and all who had come to Jerusalem from the captivity. They appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upwards to supervise the work of the house of the Lord. And Jeshua with his sons and his brothers, and Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together supervised the workmen in the house of God, along with the sons of Henadad and the Levites, their sons and brothers. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord, according to the directions of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid, though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. For the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. A good beginning. In the spring of 966 BC, that's almost 3,000 years ago, Solomon began building a temple in Jerusalem, and it was a splendid, magnificent temple. It became the center of Jewish spiritual life for nearly 400 years. It was their pride. It was where God dwelt with them. Then in July of 586 BC, after an 18-month siege, Jerusalem was taken by the Babylonians, who destroyed Solomon's temple. A symbolic act demonstrating to the world that Israel's God was no longer powerful. Devastating. Ripping the heart out of Israel. The Jews were taken into exile and the temple lay in ruins. Just about 50 years after that disaster, some of the Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem. And they began rebuilding the temple. These Jews, returning from exile, did not have the power that Solomon had. They did not have the wealth that Solomon had. They didn't have the influence that Solomon had. And this second temple, therefore, was not going to be nearly so splendid. Nevertheless, they made a beginning, and it was a good beginning. They worked hard. We read about that. And in 536, exactly 50 years after the destruction of the old temple, the foundation was built for this new temple. And as we read, this was cause for a celebration of praise. A loud shout went up in Israel. Praise and thanks to God. Why? Because his love is steadfast and endures forever. God at the center of it all. It was a joyful celebration, and all the people, we read, praised the Lord. But then we read, didn't we? It's interesting, wasn't it? I don't know if you found that passage interesting, or whether you've ever noticed it there in the scriptures before. But there were some people there on that joyful day who were old enough to remember, because only about 50 years previous, to remember the splendor of Solomon's temple. And it was splendid. When they remembered, looking back to the splendor of Solomon's temple, they couldn't help but compare it with the plainness, the simplicity of the new that they were planning, the foundation that they had laid. It would have been a lot smaller. The footprint, I think is the technical word, was a lot smaller. It was clearly not going to be impressive. And they were somehow deeply disappointed, overwhelmed with sorrow and sadness. And these people, old ones, we read, old men, they wept aloud, whilst all around them, younger men shouted with joy. Shouts of joy and loud weeping mixed together in one great noise that was heard far away. Well, just pause, and it's a bit like that here today, isn't it? There are shouts of joy with what God is doing, but there's thoughts of just sadness because next week is going to be so different. I know that's not the direct application, but it's a mixture of feelings going on this morning. So let's just acknowledge that. We're not going to enjoy Hannah's playing next Sunday. She'll be playing at the piano on Kingsway, and so on and so forth, and that will be repeated in various ways. We rejoice in that, but there's some sadness, isn't there? Because we've benefited from one another's gifts and ministries. Anyhow, shortly after this great day, this good beginning that they made, after they'd laid this foundation, work stopped on the rebuilding program. It's interesting, isn't it? They laid the foundation, and then work stopped. It stopped because their enemies made them afraid. And you can read about that in the next chapter, chapter 4 of Ezra. I'm not going to read it now, but you can follow it up if you wish. That's one reason why it stopped. Opposition from outside. And there's a sermon there, but I'm not going there. And it stopped also because the Jews started building something else. Anyone want to guess what they started building? They come back from exile. Houses. They started building their own houses. Jerusalem was a ruin. They'd given some attention to the temple, but they were distracted then by building their own houses. You can read about that in Haggai chapter 1, where they are rebuked for that. for 16 long years, they neglected the temple, having made a good beginning. They forgot that good beginning. Well, here we are today at our covenant renewal service, a day that marks, as it were, the laying of a good foundation. I think the Lord has helped us, hopefully with these documents, to, as it were, lay a good foundation. Our new working documents upon which we ask the Lord to help us build our life together. A good beginning has been made. I think it is a beginning. What can we learn then about a good beginning from this passage to help us today? I've got three simple points. The first one is, a good beginning is a day for the Lord's people to give thanks and praise. It's very simple, isn't it? Verse 11. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Everyone praised the Lord. A good beginning is fitting and right that we should praise God, that he should be at the center, that we should recognize that he's doing something and give him glory and honor. For he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. So then let us praise God for his goodness today in your hearts. When you walk home, praise God for this day, for this good beginning. When you give thanks for your meal at lunchtime, praise God for this day. Make it an act of praise verbally together in your families. We've done it this morning. Continue it as you go forward. Let's thank God for his love. For it's his love and faithfulness that's brought us here. Nothing else. Remember this day in the times ahead. It's a day when God drew us together to himself and began a new way to renew us spiritually together. Secondly, a good beginning may not look like much. Okay? Good beginning is a day to praise. I have no idea what the count's going to be. A day to praise God, but a good beginning may also not look like much. That's verse 12, isn't it? We read that. Those old men looking back, it didn't seem much to them what God was doing in that day. God was doing it, wasn't he? But it didn't seem much to them, and they wept. So there will be those here this morning who can remember better days for the church than we currently have in the UK. Actually, most of us, because it's changed so rapidly, so recently. There was a day, wasn't there, when the church was more towards the center of our society, when there was respect, when people came to church. That's just gone almost overnight, it feels. And we could sit here today thinking, well, this is good, but it's not a patch on where we were 50 years ago, or however long you can look back. Days when if you didn't get to church early, you didn't get a seat. I can remember that. The church was really something then, wasn't it? Those were the days. And then we look at this little work. And it's a little work. It's not an impressive footprint. And we're tempted to think, you can hardly call this a church. What's all the fuss about? And in one way, that's all true, isn't it? I sometimes think back to churches that we as a family have worshipped in. Now, that was a church. That really was a church. That's how we're tempted to think. Five services on a Sunday, each to suit a different taste. Great Bible ministry. This is a real church, by the way, we were in. Over 1,000 attending during the course of the day. Regular conversions, great music group and worship. Established and comfortable friendships. Here, it all feels rather feeble and fragile a lot of the time. Perhaps at times rather amateurish, can't even say it. And not content with that, next week we're sending out a significant number of people. And it's going to go backwards, not forwards. That's how it's going to feel. So it's easy, isn't it, to see how in the midst of a joyful celebration, many of us here could actually be looking around with some sense of sorrow or almost weeping and sadness. I think most of us, and many of us, will be feeling a mixture of joy and thankfulness, sadness and disappointment even. So in the days ahead, we will be tempted to miss the significance of what God is doing because it's not a big footprint. Don't miss it. God is working now. He may have done a greater work in the past, but he's working today. Rejoice in that. By all means, look back. But don't let that stop you recognizing that God is still faithful, still loving and good towards his people, and still working. It may not look like much, but it's a good beginning and it's God's work. Thirdly, a good beginning may not come to much. It may not look like much, and it may not come to much. Chapter 4 is in mind, that we didn't read, but I explained to you how the people met with opposition, and they put their tools down. And in Haggai chapter 1, we notice having put their tools down, they were quick then to take up their tools again to build their own houses. So they kind of just lost the plot. And the question is, after this good beginning, what will we do? We've asked for God's grace to help us, and he will. We give thanks for that. But we can get so easily distracted. We are going to have to work hard at staying close to God. What's our year verse? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's going to be hard. Take a lot of throwing ourselves upon God in the coming weeks. Some will come among us and actually be afraid of committing to the common life of this church, actually because it's a scary common life. I think the common life of a church actually is scary because God requires commitment of people. And so some may come and enjoy it and then not stay with the work. It's hard, isn't it, being added to a church which is geared up really for gospel growth and service. Especially when there's maybe another church down the road where you can actually have a far easier time. Fair enough. Some of us may get our priorities confused at times. That's very easy to do. We may think that now we've made a good beginning, we can sort of concentrate on ourselves a little bit. That bit's done, I'll have a breather, and I want to do a little bit personal housekeeping, as it were. And then others may think like that as well as you. And then before long, we will discover that we have time for everything as the Lord's people and no time for God. He's become a second priority. I think that's what we see in the Old Testament. It happens in the New Testament. It can happen today. So, listen to my headmaster's comments after my first term at secondary school. I'm not proud of this, but it's probably the best example I can give. That's personal. In the days when they actually wrote specific personal comments, and they didn't get a piece of print from a computer that's random. Well done. Keen and enthusiastic in all he does. I got a pat on the back for that. Now, 1 year later, to the day, listen to what he wrote. Something seems to have gone amiss here. You can see his handwriting. And he's clearly come off the boil. In the majority of subjects, at least. Not a good report. A year on. A good beginning can be a good start, but it may not come to much. My academic career didn't come to much, as it happens. But God's sovereign, and he's worked around that. So, at this good beginning, let's not grieve over the past, but give thanks to God for his goodness. Let's unreservedly give thanks for his goodness today. Express that yourselves verbally. And that's demonstrated by this good beginning. And let's ask God to help us continue building faithfully on the good beginning in the future. Amen.